This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Welcome to Force of Light Entertainment. I'm your host, Michelle, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my sister, Natalie.
Greetings and salutations.
Well, that's quite the intro. Well, this is episode 56 of Force of Light Entertainment. And if you have not yet, we encourage you to please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, if you're more a podcast person, hit the subscribe button on that. And if you're watching on YouTube, give the video a thumbs up.
I mean, all of this is free.
Yes. Yeah. It's free 99, guys. It's a fantastic thing. And yet again, for those of you listening on a podcast, this is another live version, so there will be there will be people interacting.
There will be fan service going on.
There will be.
Throughout the duration.
And let's see. Let's go ahead and say hello to Any World But Ours.
Hey, Luke.
And Luke, I was just on you guys' I was on you guys' chat a little bit ago. And hello to Fardog.
Hey.
Hello to RFB.
In the house.
Yes, hello to Salacious Rum.
Hey, Salacious.
Hello to Gilster37.
Hey there.
It's the first time in the chat.
Well, you get a round of applause,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we like that. And hello to you from Dublin.
Our Irish Gerald.
Yes, always welcome.
Good to see you.
And Mark Shabby Geek is in the house. Yes, so.
Woo! Got to do a little dance for Shabby.
Yeah, he's got to do a dance. I mean, Shabby makes us all want to do a dance in his videos. So, yes, well, thank you guys for joining the chat, and hello to Bob's Adventures and Vlogs and More. Hello,
Bob.
Yes, and make sure to check out Bob, Any World But Ours, and Salacious Rob, and Mark Shabby Geek's channels I see all thus far in the chat. So
absolutely.
Definitely check them out as well. But anyways, guys, we are at the end, in a way, of a long road. Our season two of the Mandalorian discussions are beginning to come to a close. Or are they, is the question.
Just wanted to say hi to Mr.
Yes.
Al.
Yes, hello to you, and hello.
And thank you.
Yes, and hello to Red 5 Designs as well, and hello, Al. But guys, this is the end of the road. It is the final episode of season two of the Mandalorian.
Or is it only the beginning?
I think it's only the beginning. That's the way we're going to take this. But regardless, it is the finale of season two, and my gosh, did this episode live up to the rest of the season. It did not disappoint, to say the least. So I think we just want to...
So many emotions.
Yeah, so I think we just want to jump into this episode, a lot to talk about. So join the conversation, and let's talk The Mandalorian.
This is the way.
Yes, this is the way. And hello to Blue Harvest Vintage Toys.
Hello
there. And yes, we are, as he has up, we are discussing Chapter 16, The Rescue. So, yes. Okay. So, beginning with, and Natalie and I, we got to watch the Ahsoka episode with each other. We were in the same place that morning, and we got to do that again with this episode. So,
special time, Shelley.
So I basically know her initial thoughts because we were right there. But Natalie, tell them, what were your initial thoughts?
She saw and heard them.
I did hear them. There might have been cheers and tears. But Natalie, tell the people listening and watching, what were your initial thoughts of The Rescue?
That this was probably the most epic episode thus far. And by far the most emotional for me.
Yes. I mean, I think epic... But I mean, literally, as we just said, so our initial thoughts were just, wow. Like, I was, like, kind of high all day Friday from this episode. I mean, they delivered, guys. I mean, I was so excited. We were cheering. There might have been some tears. I mean, this episode, it just had it all. Yeah, this chapter had all the feels, totally.
I might have been jumping off the couch one minute in excitement and crying the next.
Yes.
I mean, didn't know with this one.
Oh, gosh. And yes. Oh, we're going to get into that. For those of you listening, Mark Shabby Geek says the green has been ignited. And yes, it has been.
Oh, yes.
It definitely has been. So we will jump into, so that's our initial thoughts. It was freaking awesome. So we will move into now... So the opening scene there, and of course, they Boba Fett is able to track down the cloning person, Dr. Pershing. I forget his name right off the top of my head. The little nerd.
Little doctor. But do you know that's literally what my brain thought, but I thought I won't say that. That's impolite.
But you know what, guys? There you go. Again, I've been watching Daredevil. It's like he's like
little
a
nerd.
He's like a Matt. He's like a Matt Murdock wannabe with those little round glasses. That's all I think of when I see the guy.
Hey, nerds are cool. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. He's just he's a different level of, he's a different, specific, not a Star Wars nerd, but like he was really good at math.
He's a special nerd.
Yeah, he is. And there, Dr. I say, sometimes things just don't roll off my tongue.
Dr. Pershing.
Yes, Dr. Pershing. Thank you.
Dr. Nerding.
But anyways, so, and I heard some people kind of pick on the acting of the Imperials, but I feel like that was intentional, because if you go back even to season one of The Mandalorian, like when he's like, hey, watch that, and the Stormtrooper says, you watch it. I just feel like in the show, they make Imperials kind of over the top,
yes.
If you've noticed.
Yeah.
So I don't think
it's
they're
kind
acting.
Of their style.
Yeah, so I didn't have a problem with their over-the-top kind of ridiculousness in that first scene. But, man, I loved it when that guy, I mean, he provoked Kara, and you were feeling it.
You knew what was coming.
And, yes, and him saying, I was there. I watched it when they blew up Alderaan. Or I was on the Death Star, and I loved, just, she's so sly, which one?
Like, she at that point was like, just give me just one reason.
Yeah, just give me one reason. And man, she just, boom. I mean, in the face. She shot the dude in the face. It was pretty awesome.
And then the little doctor nerd was like, oh. Yeah. I mean, I guess I would have too.
He was, oh, and hello to Jedi Princess Kay.
Hello.
Yes, thank you for joining. So awesome to have you here.
Of course.
But yes, I thought that opening scene was fantastic. And then, of course, it moved to them going, as we've been calling, and I think we all felt was coming, them going to find Bo-Katan. And I think it was interesting that, you know, Bo-Katan, who was in, like, a really good mood when we first met her, she seemed pretty low, didn't she?
She did, yeah. She didn't, see, I noticed that. She didn't seem to be in the best spirits.
It's almost like you kind of get the vibe she's really been trying to find Moff Gideon and has been so unsuccessful. And just because that, she even says that, well, good luck, basically, like, good luck finding them.
Yeah, like, you're never going to find them.
Yeah, you're never going to find them. And that whole exchange was kind of interesting. And I thought it was interesting, and we'll get into it later why, I'll explain that. But they specifically say to Boba Fett, like, you're not a Mandalorian.
Yeah, he's like, never claimed to be.
Yeah, never claimed to be. But their little tussles kind of...
touche.
Yeah. It was a good scene, though. And, of course, they get Bo-Katan, because now Mando has, basically, if you help me, I'll help you. The tables have turned, my friend, finally.
And we all know Mando has helped a lot of people.
Yes, yeah, they definitely have. Let's see, Bo and Kasha, yeah, just keep the names coming, and Kasha Reeves. Yes, and the gentleman who's like Wolf something, he wasn't there, and we don't know why. We don't know if, you know, maybe he just went somewhere else, or maybe he perished looking for Moff Gideon. We don't really know. So, let's see. Yeah. What does this monkey lizard say? Sasha Banks fighting Boba Fett, got the monkey lizard. He got you excited for sure. The monkey lizard was excited. Speaking of the monkey lizard, you should have been excited at the very, very end, at the end credits scene.
As a matter of fact, I was thinking of you, Slay, just because I was like, where is that monkey lizard?
Ah, they say, I believe the good doctor got his ear shot off. I haven't noticed that. That would kind of
well,
be...
Well, that makes sense, like, why he had such a reaction. I mean, like, besides it just being shocking.
He's like, dang. Axe wolves. Okay, yeah. Yeah, because she said, I want to know where he was. Yeah, we don't know where he was, so.
True.
We'll see. But one thing we do know about Dave Filoni and, well, Jon Favreau and the show, nothing goes wasted. Like, if he very well could be in the next season if he is, in fact, alive. So
yeah.
I would say that would be the case. So then they're all off, and they've got this old Imperial ship, which kind of reminds us, of course, of Return of the Jedi, with them all being on that and tricking the Imperials. And, of course, they are able to get on Moff Gideon's cruiser. And at which point, I mean, we just really do have to talk about, I mean, Natalie and I, as two women, I mean, and I think everyone felt that way besides us just being two women. Can we just talk a moment about the four women, the two Mandalorians, Cara Dune and Fennec Shan, yes, just taking the bridge and taking stormtroopers out one by one? I mean, what a, like, just organic.
Now that's a squad.
Yeah. I mean, like that is a squad and, like, just kind of girl power moment. And I was saying to Natalie, to me, again, that's the word I would use. It was so organic. Like, it just came naturally.
It didn't feel cheesy or forced.
No, because, like, say in Avengers Endgame, it honestly makes me, like, I feel cheesy when it happens, when all the women are, it's, like, so obvious to, like, it's all the women together. Like, it was so, and not that I want to take away from that. It's just, it kind of makes you eye roll a little bit.
Yeah, like, you're kind of pandering a little bit.
Yes.
Or a lot of it.
We're like, this just, like, it just felt, I mean, it was just so, like, just organic. That's the only word you can use. It wasn't trying to, like, force something. It just happened. And it was awesome. It was wonderful. And we're here for it.
Yes, absolutely.
And, I mean, the four of them just work so well together. I mean, I love the scene, guys, where they're on the bridge and the two Mandalorians just kind of jump off. And you're like, what are they going to do with
this?
They're
like tag teaming.
Yes, because then when they come out and they think, oh, well, they've got Cara and Fennec, you know, outnumbered, then boom, they just pop up and take them all out. And then I thought, too, I really enjoyed like Cara's, which can be realistic, her gun jamming. I don't know if we've ever seen that in Star Wars, like a gun jam, but I mean that happens in
real
life.
But she still makes the most of it.
She makes the most
of
it
in that few seconds, you know, and then just the camaraderie, I've got you,
yes,
you know, until she gets it under control.
Yes, because it's four like very different women in a way, but then similar. And yes, the four of them together, I mean, I just can't talk about that enough. It was pretty awesome.
It was.
So
it couldn't be overlooked.
No, it couldn't. So then, of course, you've got Mando sneaking around by, and Natalie, if you see anything in the chat that you want to point out, let me know. But, I mean, the girl power was just fully on display.
Yes.
It was awesome. And, yes, it was natural. It was not forced. Like, they were trying to do it on purpose. And that's just that's what it's good. Like, that's good writing.
Yes.
And that's how it's done. And, yes, Fennec had Cara covered. She really did. That was pretty awesome. And, yes, finally a gun jams. Yeah, it's never happened that I can recall.
It had some, I mean, that was realistic.
A realness.
Yeah.
Because it is. And then you got to think, like, kind of on your feet and have someone cover you. So.
Like, I mean, I'm not super familiar with guns, granted, but I'm guessing they happen.
Yeah, they definitely jam. I mean, that happens. It can happen regularly, especially, I mean, it does. So that was cool. So then you get Mando facing off against the Death Trooper, and dang. So, I mean, Mando's able to take him out because he only has to deal with one, and thank goodness he had that Beskar spear.
Yes.
Because I don't know if he would have taken him out without it, because his gun was doing nothing.
And they just were so effectively kind of gave you a sense of, not like you were like scared, but just like they were very intimidating.
Yes.
And just them coming and the way they just like, you know, they're like, I say they're like machines. They are machines.
Yeah.
They are Terminators.
Well, and clearly.
And they're just banging on the door until it's ultimately going to open. And so then there's that sense, like, I got to get this handled and get away from this.
Yeah.
They're going to come through. And then he handled it like a boss.
He
using
did.
Using his brain.
Yes. And, well, it's funny you say Terminator. It's like, clearly, I don't even have to know this. Clearly, Jon Favreau is a big fan of the Terminator. Because
they're very Terminator-like.
Well, they are. They're extremely Terminator-like in that kind of that intimidation of how do you stop this.
Yes.
But then also, think back to the season finale of season one. That whole thing with IG-11 sacrificing himself for the kid, that was straight out Terminator 2. So clearly Favreau just likes that. I mean, and who doesn't like Terminator, classic Terminator?
Terminator element. But yeah. And I also, you know, you kind of can't help but feel for Mando when it's like, let's see, the girls on the Mandalorian were awesome. I'm glad they didn't explain to us how bad, they were. We know how bad they were. Yes.
Yes. I mean, just definitely. I mean, they just are.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, when he's trying to use all his, he's like, okay, fire. Okay, the gun's not working. Okay, yeah. Let me pull out the whistling birds. Okay, it's like.
And they do nothing. Just, like, bounce off of them.
And you're like, okay, are you getting it? This, nothing's going to work. Or that's how it feels. So it's very intimidating.
Yeah, the Dark Troopers are beyond fierce.
Yeah,
they truly are and unstoppable. They are.
And then he found that one special spot.
He did, like, right up kind of in the neck. Yeah.
Which I'm covering today because it's a little cold up here.
I just turned the heat on. We've been out of town.
Yes.
But yeah, so that was awesome. And then, of course, he's able to get to where Moff Gideon is. And Moff Gideon, that son of a gun, he's got the Darksaber right at Grogu's little throat. And come on, we all knew Moff Gideon was playing him when he's like, I've got what I need.
Yeah, but maybe he's being super nice and reasonable about this.
Yeah, we all know he's not that reasonable.
No.
So we all felt that coming. Plus, you knew he had the spear for that purpose. Right. We all knew that was coming.
Yes.
So they have, I mean, dang, now we know why. Many months ago, when Juan Carlos Esposito talked about breaking several Darksabers, now we know because he was just chopping with that thing.
Right, yeah. I mean, he went for it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like full speed ahead. I mean, he was like just full on angry attacking him. And of course, Mando is able to win. And takes them back to the bridge.
I like when he's like, oh, you spared my life. This should be interesting.
Yes, that's the
and
thing.
We see he already had some plans up his crafty little sleeve.
Yes, like he's so smart and so ahead of the, like, that's the thing. He's kind of to me on the level of maybe almost to like a Thrawn level to where he's always several steps ahead of everyone. Like he wanted to not let Bo-Katan be there to get it.
Right.
Like, because if he lost, he didn't want Bo-Katan to get it.
Yeah.
Like, he's that conniving. So, I mean, he's just such a fantastic villain. And so at which point, of course, they get to the bridge of the ship. And he's just so happy to inform Bo-Katan that she can't have the Darksaber anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so pumped about that. which that actually opens up an interesting, you know, thing for maybe next season. Because Bo-Katan, you could tell she is ticked. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's just like, here, take it. I don't want it. He's
like she wasn't in a good mood at the start of this episode. Now she's really TO'd.
Yeah.
Ticked off.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I'm trying to read these comments. Yeah, it was that he didn't go. She's kind of weird. Gideon did not go for one of the body parts with no Beskar on it.
Right.
It is because, you know, he knows how durable that Beskar is because he is so smart. And they said Gideon made a mistake by not aiming for the neck. Yeah, the parts where there's no Beskar. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And yeah, Gus. I mean, he's Gus French. He's just a fantastic villain.
But I will say, and I think I've touched on this before, I like the way he's villains in both, but he is a totally different character.
Yes.
Mannerisms, voice inflections, facial expressions, like, totally different.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
It just shows what a good actor he is.
He is. I mean, his face acting, everything. He's just a fantastic actor. And so that is kind of an awkward scene where you can feel the tension of Bo wanting that Darksaber so bad.
Yes.
And it's literally being offered to her. And she's like, I can't do it. I can't take
it. Kind of nailed the face even.
She's just like, ooh. But, which is kind of interesting because
he's
like,
take it. I don't want it.
Yeah. Like, I yield. Like, here. I told Natalie, it's kind of interesting, and I trust that, you know, with obviously Filoni working with Dave Favreau, that they'll explain this, because I did a Rebels rewatch right before the season came out, and of course, you know, when Sabine literally just gives it to Bo-Katan, the Darksaber, they don't fight over it, it's just like, here. So I'm almost wondering if maybe because Bo-Katan lost it to Moff Gideon, maybe, like, she can't just receive it or something. Like, she would have to win it back almost to get back the honor of the Darksaber.
Right.
I don't know. That's just kind of me guessing with that. So, because again, Sabine Wren in Rebels is just like, here. Like, you should be the leader of Mandalore, and gives it to her, and she accepts it. So, I'd say they'll explain that to where, to where we'll understand. He said it has to be won in battle. It typically has. Just in Rebels, we have that one incident. So we'll see where it goes with that. But anyway, so this leads into because Mando's able to get rid of all the dark troopers. So all of a sudden, they're kicked out of the ship.
All the ones on board.
On board. So all of a sudden, they start coming back, and she's like, there's something approaching the ship. It's not a life form. So, they're all coming back. So then you have...
Crap.
Yeah, they are. So then you have... And Grogu, if you notice, he did look like he had a lot of strength. Yeah. I don't know if they drained him from taking his blood. Let's see. Hold on one second. I want to read this. In Rebel, Sabine's mother tells her that she doesn't have a claim to it because she did defeat Maul. Okay, so that makes sense. Yeah. So, she didn't really have a claim, so she gives it to Bo. Okay, that makes sense. So that's a pretty good explanation. But anyways, so then we've got these dark troopers, and they are just beginning to pound, in to where they are.
Yeah.
And that was where you're kind of someone heard the call.
Someone's got to help them because there's seemingly no way out of this, even with these great fighters, because it took all his might to handle one, let alone a fleet of them. And then you've got Moff Gideon.
Yeah, he's just touting.
The only one that's going to be alive are me and the child, and everyone else is going to be dead. Yeah. And he's just, loving it, watching it unfold. He's, gets his popcorn.
He really did. He had his popcorn out. He was just in there watching it. He loved the tension that was going on. And then...
he was like Icarus. He got a little too close to the sun.
And, yes, we're getting to that place where all of our heads began to explode.
Oh, totally.
So then, before they're about to pound into where they are, all of a sudden, you get one X-Wing. And Kara, and at that point, I was like, it's Luke! Sorry for those listening. I did just scream into the thing. But I lost my mind.
But I will say, even though, and I'll give more credit to Michelle, but we both kind of, I'd agreed with her, put it out there, it very possibly, realistically, could be Luke to show up. I think a lot of us, we didn't want to get our hopes up too much because it was like, okay, man, that'd be so freaking awesome. But if it doesn't happen, that's okay too. And so you see that, but then I think we were both kind of trying to almost self-preservation, maybe somebody else.
And I was like, no, it's Luke.
You know, and then you see the robe and you're like, okay, it's gotta be.
But you knew as soon as Kara says one X-Wing, what's that gonna do?
Yeah.
And then
you wait.
And then it pulls up and I was like, it's R2! It's R2! I was just getting so excited. And then my gosh. Hallway fights, it's kind of, again, I keep relying everything to Daredevil, but Daredevil became known for its hallway fights. But Star Wars is becoming known for its hallway fights at this point. And my gosh. Luke, they gave us what we've been saying ever since Chapter 6. It just made sense.
Yeah.
We knew someone heard that call, and who was the strongest Jedi in the galaxy? Luke Skywalker. So it just made sense for him to arrive. And I love how they showed it of them watching the screen. And you just see the black and white.
Yeah, you still don't see color.
Yes. And you see the robes. And
then you see a glove. And then at that point.
That's when you knew. You see the black glove.
I get up and jump off the couch.
did you guys notice when, I believe it's Bo-Katan she says, it's a Jedi. Did you guys notice it's the first time ever that Moff Gideon's face, you saw fear.
Yes.
It was frozen back, oh, crap. Like I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And, my gosh. At that point, when you saw the black glove, and then, as Mark Chabby Geek had said, ignite the green. And we got the green saber, which we've not gotten since Return of the Jedi in 1983. And we get him just taking out. And that's what's so interesting. Is because this show, all the people on board are absolutely A-plus fighters in Star Wars. They truly are. They're all incredibly skilled at what they do. Very skilled.
As a human can do.
Yes. And then where you see Mando is so skilled, but he struggles so much with one dark trooper.
Right.
And Luke just takes out, like, I mean, just like...
dozens.
Like, dozens upon dozens with ease. Like,
yeah, he's just going through there like a boss.
Yeah, like, he's not even breaking a sweat. And, I mean, just the different stances and the lightsaber going. I mean, it was just... She got up off the couch. Like, I was shouting. She jumped out of the couch. We were losing our freaking minds as, I mean, he's just mowing them down. And the fact that we're getting something that we've all wanted since Return of the Jedi, we're truly getting Luke, the master Jedi, mowing people down. And then, I mean, come on. All of our favorites is that last one. He could have easily just chopped him in two, but no, he does a Vader and just squeezes him and just lets kind of like the life choke out of him. I mean, it was just like, oh my gosh.
And the whole thing was awesome, but especially when he gets off that elevator, I guess you call it an elevator. So oh, yes. Wars, and just kind of like pulls out his thing. And it is so reminiscent of the end of Rogue One with Darth Vader.
Yes.
And then I've already seen the memes, like, I am like my father, you know, before me, a Jedi. And it is so true. Like, it was so, like, reminiscent. Just so awesome. The parallels.
Oh, my gosh. It was just, I may have been bouncing on my bed like a little kid. Is what
yes.
They said. Yeah. I mean, we all were. We were all losing our minds. I mean, we got what we wanted. And it was wonderful. Like, it was executed wonderful. I mean, guys in the chat, how many times have you hit replay on that scene? And, oh my gosh, I did, well, we'll get into that later, about my Twitter poll that I did. We got a lot of feedback from it.
Well, and can I just say, I think, you know, the fans, the people that watch this as little kids, or the original trilogy, it just, like, I feel like, you know, I'm trying to say people deserve stuff, but, like, they deserve this. Like, you know, it was well-earned, and so many people were so let down by the betrayal of Luke in The Last Jedi. I mean, I hope that this kind of fixed something for them, like, in their hearts.
And to me, what's so great about this is it doesn't change for everyone who loves The Last Jedi. It doesn't change that in any way. It just gives them what the people who weren't as happy, it just gives them what they so badly wanted to see.
Like,
so
I can just tell you,
it brings a bridge of healing in a way.
It does. Like, I can just tell you, our brother, for example, who is a massive fan, you know, our whole childhoods, he's 5 years older than me, but he, you know, that was really...
You can keep talking. Yeah. You say you watched it about 10 times.
I'm sure a lot of us did. But I think that's really, he had expressed to me a couple years ago, that's really what he was looking for. He's like, I wanted to see Luke, like, you know, just in his prime, like, just going for it. And it's like, we finally got that.
Yes. And as Mark, it brings us all together.
It does.
Like, for those who really love The Last Jedi, like I said, it doesn't, it all just works together. Like,
there is a unity in the Force now.
Yeah. Like, it's just, to me, it's wonderful. It gives it's a win-win for everybody. So I just think that's fantastic. Personally,
what were you gonna read? Who noticed the dark troopers stopped fighting right before Luke was shown? They stopped and turned towards him.
Yes.
That was interesting. Like, they knew there was a threat coming from that way.
And something I want to notice too, as tired as the child was, he perks up.
Like, he senses,
like, in the Force, you could tell he felt like the guy, like the person I was communicating with, they're here.
Yes,
like they're here. They've come. They're here to get me. Or to help me. And that was key. And then him putting his hand on the screen.
Yeah.
And watching. It was just so sweet.
And then Mando watching him watching.
Yes. You know? It was all just so sweet. And I will say, like, because you guys know, I was always a Han and Leia girl. And I did. But because I grew up on the original trilogy, I still adored Luke. And when I rewatched this the second time, like maybe an hour after I watched it the first time, I can be honest that, like, my eyes got a little watery during the scene because it just means so much. Like, you finally got it. Like, you saw it.
Or as our brother put it, he said, you know, his eyes got a little misty.
That was AKA for he cried.
I think he was downplaying.
I think he was downplaying too a little bit. So that's kind of what I think. So then, of course, you know, Mando tells him, like, open the door. And Fennec Shand's like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
And, you know, they open the door. And, I mean, come in steps in the all black Luke Skywalker. And I know a lot of people are fussy. I mean, it was a video game face of Luke Skywalker. I mean, we can say that. It was. But you know what?
It still worked for me.
It worked for me. It didn't even take me out of it. It was just fine. Like, I was so high from what I just witnessed that I just didn't care that his face was, you know, wasn't near as good as, like, say, the Tarkin CGI, which costs so much money. So,
and if anything, like, you know, I thought, okay, is it going to be, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Sebastian Stan? But there was almost something special, even if it wasn't like, oh, it's like Luke.
Yeah.
You know, there was just something so cool about it to me.
And this is a good question. I want to know how she, or how Luke knew where to find Grogu since he'd left Tython.
Yes.
I mean, I think the only explanation I can give is like, there's just kind of some bond there in the Force of like him to almost like a beacon, like to know where it was. I mean, that you may not like that answer. I think that's the only thing I could come up with right now off the top of my head. But that was cool. And then to see, I mean, just, and I know again, the CGI might not have been the best, but it worked for me. And I was happy. And of course, this moment comes that we've all kind of, you know, wanted, but don't want. And I love Mando says he doesn't want to go with you, aka
yes,
I don't want him to go with you.
Right.
And I love Luke
aka
said,
I don't want
him. Yeah,
like me, Natalie, I don't want him.
Yes, and it's just like, and I love Luke says he wants your permission, like, and that was just kind of touching. Yeah. And then we get the moment, guys, where they look at each other.
I just couldn't.
And when he touches his mask, listen, she straight up, it made me turn around because she was on the couch. She straight up, all of a sudden I start hearing, like it's a loud cry. Like there's like sounds coming out of this. It's not like tears. It's like,
it's just real emotion, man.
It was a lot of crying, man.
It was too much.
And then I'm a sympathetic crier, so it made me tear up a little bit. But, I mean, just at that moment and what they built up to, it was so earned of him taking off his helmet and Grogu just reaching out and touching his face and literally him being teared up.
I literally had that thought, too. Just for the listeners, Fardog says, let me look on you with my own eyes.
That is such an awesome parallel of the last thing Luke's father said to him, basically, you know, let me look upon you with my own eyes. And for Mando to take, in front of Luke, to take his helmet off so the child can for the first time see him face to face with his own big brown eyes.
And once again, you know, I think there's such a strength in being vulnerable. And he wasn't even just for the child. He's like, I don't care if Luke sees me. I don't care the rest of the episode. If these other people see me. Yes, the tears. And he was so broken. It just destroyed me.
And hello to a Black Jedi. Just found
hello.
You. Hey, we would definitely collab with you.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And awesome that you found us. But I mean, yes, the tears in the eyes, everything. It was so perfect. And it is emotional because, again, this show is just so, the heartbeat of the show, and we'll talk about this a little later. The heartbeat of the show, as we've been saying this whole season, it is the relationship between Mando, Din, and the child, Grogu. Like, that is the heartbeat of this show.
Right.
And just to see them and for him to tell him, and I want to point this out because we are going to make a prediction at the end. We're going to have a special episode on Wednesday with predictions and possibilities for season 3. But I will say this, because so many people think, oh, Grogu's chapter's gone, he's done. There's a reason why writing matters. One, listen to what is said. Luke tells him this. He will never be safe from the Empire until he masters his abilities. I take that as like, I need to teach him how to do this so he can be on his own and be like, he doesn't need me to protect him or you to protect him.
Yeah.
Like he can protect himself at that point. But then secondly, what I want to say is when Mando tells him, we'll see each other again, I promise.
Yeah.
That was literally basically Jon Favreau looking at the audience who adores the child and saying,
he'll be back.
He'll be back in the show. I promise.
Yes.
Like, that's really what that was.
Right.
But anyway, so then you get R2-D2, which that was just so, that was so awesome to get R2. And someone tweeted out that R2 is probably thinking, the last time I saw something like this, it beat me with a stick. Right. Of course, referring to The Empire Strikes Back. But then to see, you know, Grogu's like, ooh.
Yeah,
like,
he's fascinated by
like
him.
He has a, you know, Mando doesn't have a thing, you know, doesn't really like droids. So so he was very fascinated with this droid. And anyways, so for them to see him and that for R2 do his little shake happy thing at the end, like, ooh.
So cute.
Like, it was just all so sweet and cute. And then, dang, I mean, that final moments of Luke walking away with the child, and they turn, and Mando, the tears in his eyes, and even Kara's just smiling, watching it happen.
Yeah.
Like, I think all those women were probably going to turn around and give him a minute to, like, get himself together.
Right.
But, I mean, dang. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's just... let's see. Oh, R2 is just a big silver and blue ball to Grogu.
There you go.
That is why he liked him, for sure. I mean, and let's, what is, R2, who knew? I mean, it's just so awesome to have them both back. And Grogu, as the Black Jedi, Grogu would definitely be back. Yeah. I mean, they are doing a fantastic job.
Jedi Princess Kay, she makes a good point up here.
I believe at the end of the series, Din and Grogu will be a team with Mando kicking bad guys, AWS, and Grogu helping with him in the Force.
I mean, they could be quite the power duo.
Well,
and you know, maintain their father-son relationship.
And that's why I want to say this. We will get in more, again, Wednesday, and we'll let you guys know on Twitter the time. We're trying to get a guest with us, and we're trying to work with them for a time. But we just want to just talk after we have some more time to process. We just want to talk about possibilities for season 3. But I will say this, again, the heartbeat of the show is Grogu and Mando. It has been that way from the moment they laid eyes on one another. Like, that is like the foundation of the show. And the show, that's why I said in a tweet, the show to me, it fundamentally doesn't work without them because of how it's been set up. And I compared it. I said it would be like if you removed Eleven from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work anymore. Like, there are some things in shows you can't remove.
Like, do we love all the other characters? Absolutely. Yes. But she's the special ingredient.
Yes. And with Grogu, I've been saying this whole season. He's not just a prop. He's not just a plot device. He is the co-lead of the show. And Grogu, as Mando says, will see each other again. Like, their days are not done.
Foreshadowing.
And I will say this kind of as we're closing on this. I will take you back to the end of season 1, where it's called foreshadowing. There's a reason why, one, they are made a clan of 2. And then also, Mando says, what do you got there? And the child has the Mandalorian necklace on. And he says, you keep that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason. Kind of as Jedi Princess was saying, like, eventually, which I think is interesting, when you have the Darksaber, which was from the first Mandalorian Jedi, I think he's kind of going to be a Mandalorian Jedi eventually.
Right.
Because, listen, they're not letting him stay with Luke to where we all then wonder, did he get slaughtered by Kylo Ren? They're not doing that.
Right, exactly.
And he makes Disney too much money. But for the story's sake, he'll be back. He'll be back. He'll see each other. I don't know at what point.
And yes, Blue Harvest Vintage Toys, I'm pretty sure we will be available.
Yeah, so that would be awesome. To. Yeah. You guys are talking about our Christmas special? Oh, yeah. We'll love to do that too. Yeah, for sure. And definitely check out Blue Harvest Vintage Toys channel. They do live streams, several of the guys. At least once a week, and he has all kinds of other good videos, too. So check him out as well.
Yes.
And let's see, even as Grogu goes with Luke, he's still, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he is. He's still Din's son. That's the thing, guys. They've established, as Ahsoka says, you're like a father to him.
Yeah.
Like, fathers, you don't just drop your kids off at school and never come back and pick them up.
Right, right.
Or summer camp or whatever.
Yeah.
So they'll be back. He'll be back. And again, we'll get into possibilities for season 3 next. So that's all we'll say about Grogu for now. But anyways, Natalie, so it leads us to that final scene, guys. So Natalie, what do you want to say about that, about the final scene? Because this season just ends...
Oh, like the kind of sneak peek?
Yeah, because this season just ends with them looking off at Grogu, and that's how it ends. Oh, and the music there is fantastic, by the way.
I mean, if your heartstrings couldn't be pulled at anymore, and then you put the music on top of it, it was just a recipe for what Michelle heard and witnessed, which was a breakdown on my part.
Yeah.
But yeah, that last scene, very interesting. And that guy, I think he'd been eating quite a bit on that throne. I forget what that character's name is.
He had been eating quite a bit since Jabba's demise.
He'd been eating a lot of frogs himself out of that little jar Jabba had.
He really had been.
But, and just the way he, you know, he's clearly nervous when Boba Fett appears. And Boba Fett's kind of like, I'm not here to talk, boom. You know, kind of... get out the way.
And then just takes the throne.
Yeah, and then I just thought it was visually such a cool shot when she, you know, grabs the drink and then sits on there, you know, and then it's kind of just that visual of her and then him kind of, or her on there
and
with
him. And she's got that blue drink that's been drank through all of the first two seasons.
Her just looking cool as a cucumber, you know.
Yes, and
I don't
him.
Know what kind of phrase that was.
But. And, I think she just made one up there, but... But anyways, and then too, I think it, even little details, like Bubba walking where the, what does he say?
Before Jenna died.
He got thick. He really did.
You put on a few, that's for sure.
Yeah, they have that the spotchka. Yeah, they're drinking that. And I love that Bubba, he walks on top where the rain cork was because he knows it's dead. He knows Luke killed it.
So yes.
He's not concerned with being dropped into that at that point.
And I like how when he's got that woman chain there and she gets it immediately and then she's like,
yeah, she just like, go.
You're free. Take it.
Yeah, leave.
You don't want to be with this freak anymore.
So then we get the Book of Boba Fett coming Christmas 2021, so next year. And I will say that I'm excited for that. I believe Variety has said that it will be a mini-series.
Yeah, and I think that'd probably be a good format for it.
Yes, I think that would be fantastic. And I know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I know there's some YouTube confusion. Some people are trying to claim that's going to replace, that will be season 3 of The Mandalorian. But I think with Kathleen Kennedy telling us that we have season 3 of Mando coming out in December of 2021, and then them giving that to us, them saying that in that episode... I just think that until Lucasfilm tells us that, I feel like you've got to assume they're two separate things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's where I'm going with that, at least. Until Lucasfilm comes out and confirms one way or the other. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Oh, I agree.
And let's see.
And hey, Michael.
Oh, yes. Hello, Michael from 2Med2 Star Wars Network. Let's see. I want to say this. Where did I?
Or to me too.
My gosh. Yeah, she called him to me too for
the longest time.
Yeah, for forever. We'll let it go. I can't find it anymore. But I mean that's kind of it. Is there anything else?
The best ones always get away.
They do. Is there anything else, Natalie, you can think of this episode? I mean
it was incredible. I like that Cara Dune, I will say we didn't touch on this, that she didn't let Moff Gideon, she didn't let him take the easy way out.
Yes, she was like, yes, that
you
was
know,
fantastic.
No, like, you're not going to get out like this.
Yes, good point. That was an awesome, like, quick little moment because that reminds you, because the Empire was based upon Nazi Germany and how many of those high official Nazis killed themselves instead of being captured. So that really kind of called back to that. And for her, for just to knock it out of his hand, like, no.
Like, no, that's not the way this is going to go down.
You going to jail. Right. like, it is not going to be fun. there's not TVs there. So
no special treatment.
Yeah, no. So I thought that was, yes, because she had mentioned how much info he has.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he basically is like a computer with how much info he has. So, yes, awesome point that you make there. So let's see. Yes. Yeah. Fantastic point. But that was awesome. But yeah, this whole episode, guys, I mean, It just, we couldn't have asked for a better season finale. I mean, it was just awesome.
Not really in our wildest dreams.
No. Well, I mean, actually, we've been saying it since chapter 6. Not to toot our own horn.
We have.
But we have said it made the most sense here.
Get your news here.
Yeah. Okay. So, but fantastic episode. And I mean, this season, so we've got, it's just been an incredible season. But so we've got two things. Okay. So for you guys to know, for starters, Nicole Marie was the winner of the Cara Dune Funko Pop. And thank you for everyone who entered that. So yes, we'll be sending that to her. But yeah, so we've got that. So I wanted to let you guys know very quick while we have you what is coming. Again, Wednesday, we'll let you know the time that's to be announced. We will be giving our season 3 possibilities for The Mandalorian. Then, let's see. And you guys let us know in the chat, because on Christmas, we are going to see Wonder Woman 1984. And we will do probably a short non-spoiler review very quick and just upload it to YouTube. But then we may do a live stream on Sunday, since people have the option of either seeing that in theaters or on HBO Max. So if you guys would be interested in a live stream next Sunday on Wonder Woman 1984, just let us know on...
Yeah.
We may do a Twitter poll or something like that, but just kind of let us know. So we'll be discussing Wonder Woman next weekend, because that, of course, will be debuting and be out. And then the following week, we want to discuss, we will go back and watch all of season 2 again. And Natalie and I will personally give our favorite episodes, like in order of our rating of the season for each episode. But Natalie, we almost forgot, how many hoots does this episode get?
You know, I hadn't thought about this before this came up tonight. You know, I know 5 is usually the threshold, but this gets 10, okay? Gets 10.
Yeah, we go with a 5 hoot thing.
10 hoots.
But we're going 10 hoots for this episode.
Yes, absolutely.
It just went way past that. So
100 hoots.
Yes. So it gets 10 hoots. I mean, even though we do 5 hoots. So it gets that. And yes, as Bob has pointed out, WandaVision.
We will be covering WandaVision, yes.
We will. That starts, I believe, mid-January. So we'll be doing that. And they said 20 hoots. I mean, infinity hoots,
infinity
guys.
Hoots.
It was just, it was incredible. this episode was awesome. So that is it for this episode of Force of Light Entertainment. And we just want to thank everyone listening on podcast or watching on YouTube. And if you found this, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and give the video a thumbs up and share it with someone.
Turn the little bell icon on if you want to be notified when we post new videos or go live, as we often do.
Yes, and thank you so much to everyone. You guys have made this so much fun in the chat. As always, we appreciate you guys.
We love our chats.
We do. We love reading you guys' chats and interacting with you guys. And if you're watching later, leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about the season finale of The Mandalorian, The Rescue. So let us know. And again, we've got some awesome content. We've got some things we're so excited to talk about in the week to come. And over this Christmas week, we're super excited. And again, Nicole Marie, you are the winner of the Cara Dune Funko Pop. And yeah, thank you so much in the chat for saying, yes, we enjoy all of you guys being with us. You guys are awesome. You guys are the best. We appreciate you guys. And if you want to reach out to us, you can find us at Force of Light Entertainment, all places podcasts are, YouTube, also on Twitter and Instagram at Force of Light Entertainment. But it's been so fun discussing The Mandalorian Season 2, and we've still got a little Mando talk in us left yet. So
later tonight.
Yes, so we will, oh yes, we are going to be on with the Scarif podcast tonight live on the Scarif Live at 7:30.
So if you feel like it, join us there too.
Yeah, join us there too. But thank you for joining, and thank you to everyone listening. But that is it for this episode, and we will catch you guys next time. And remember, this is the way.
This is the way.
Yes. Good night, guys.